First scripture lesson of this Sunday is taken from the book of the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 2, verses 5, 6, and 7. Once again, it's the book of the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 2, verses 5, 6, and 7, when the Lord God has sent Ezekiel to speak to the house of Israel. Listen for the word of the Lord. Whether they hear or refuse to hear, for they are a rebellious house, they shall know that there has been a prophet among them. And you, O mortal, do not be afraid of them, and do not be afraid of their words. Though briars and thorns surround you, and you live among scorpions, do not be afraid of their words, and do not be dismayed at their looks, for Israel is a rebellious house. You shall speak my words to them, whether they hear or refuse to hear, for they are a rebellious house. The word of the Lord.
Come to our gospel lesson, the word of God for the people of God. If you are comfortable standing, we ask that you stand in honoring the gospel. Jesus left that place and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astonished. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Then Jesus said to them, "Prophets are not without honor except in their hometown and among their own kin and in their own house. And he could not do deeds of power there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Then he went among the villages teaching, and he called the 12 and began to send them out two by two and give them authority over the unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and to not put on two tunics. He said to them, 'Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave. If any place will not welcome you and they refuse to hear you, as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them.' So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I invite you to be seated. Someone once said that 7 days make 1 week. I am feeling kind of weak and worried, worn down and beat up. Are you not? The heat has been unrelenting. And the heat of politics has been even more unrelenting and troublesome. And just, it's been a hot, difficult week, has it not? I'm glad to hear Kate Smith deliver her beautiful tribute this morning. Kate Diana. God bless America. How many of you have heard that before? It was written in 1918. Written by Irving Berlin. It was an interesting piece and it's an interesting bit of history. It was written and Kate Smith sang it, and there were places in the country that the radio stations refused to play it. The music stores refused to allow it in their stores. Do you know why? The Ku Klux Klan decided that it was written by a Jewish man and was therefore unacceptable. Can you imagine not having God Bless America in some of our beautiful churches and in some places across our country? 100 years ago, this is its anniversary. Happy anniversary. And Diana, thank you again for lifting that.
There are still issues of racism today. But we see them and we notice them, and they are abominations, and people call them to account for what they are. We are gaining on that. But there are troubles. There are troubles. Peggy's played an interesting piece for the offertory. Bridge Over Troubled Water, Paul Simon and Art Garfunkel, a tune that I learned as a young kid and just loved the song. It was their number one, one of their number one hits. It was a very popular and stayed popular for a long time. Paul Simon wrote it for Art as a proclamation to his buddy that he would be there for him through thick and thin. He said, I have to admit, he says, I stole it. It was a gospel group that had sung a song, and I was not familiar with the song, but in the place in it, they said something about a bridge over troubled waters. And he said, that's where I got the idea, and that's where the song developed, and that's where it grew. A bridge over troubled waters. We're going to end today's with Amazing Grace. How many of you have heard that song? That one was one that was not, when it was first coming out, it was highly controversial. Many people said it wasn't acceptable. Many people refused to sing it. It was just too new age. Written by a fellow by the name of John Newton. John Newton, described in his biography as a recalcitrant insubordinate. That means he was a naughty kid, basically. I had one of those when I was in high school. Maybe you knew some too, that just were always in trouble. This kid from my high school, when we graduated, the judge told him, he says, you either join the Air Force or you go to prison. Your choice. I didn't hear how it worked out. I've never followed out how it happened. But that's apparently kind of what was happening for John Newton. He was an insubordinate, recalcitrant. He was forced into the Royal Navy. And he served his term in the Navy. Maybe it straightened him up a little. I don't know. But not enough, because he began to be a part of the slave trade. And so he was part of that Atlantic slave trade, that circle of evil that was about slave trade. 1776, we mentioned that. Melba, you mentioned that. From slaves to the whole cycle that was there. At one point they were on board ship, and they were off the coast of Ireland, and a terrible storm was rocking the ship. It was very bad, and Newton was terrified. He was afraid they were going to drown, and for the first time in his life, he fell to his knees and he prayed. And something happened, something changed, and it took years, but he gradually transitioned out of becoming a slaver, and he became a clergy person, and he wrote the words to Amazing Grace. So when we sing it later, think about this man, his journey, and the job that God has done. The good news that God has placed a bridge over his troubled waters. The good news that God has saved and has brought him home. We heard some good news this morning about the boys in the caves, four of them out. I was so surprised to hear that they had accomplished that. I knew they were talking and they were still working out options. But to know that they've succeeded, that's such good news. Let's not forget the one Thai diver who has died working to save them. Let's remember that. But there's good news there. Earlier this spring, there was news of another Ebola outbreak in Africa. How many of you heard about that? It was a relatively small news article. It was eclipsed by all of the political furor going on. I'm so sick and tired of that. There's all this business going on, and we don't hear the news of the world and the important things that we need to hear. And this Ebola outbreak, that seems like a big deal. Do you remember when it happened before in Liberia and on the coast? It was spreading, and there was a huge danger that it would rampantly run out of control. And it was highly contagious, untreatable, deadly. Well, it broke out again in Congo. I thought, oh my goodness, here we go. And do you know that they now announced this week that it's stopped? They have found a vaccine that works. They have vaccinated people. The outbreak has been controlled. It has been corralled. It has been closed. Is that good news or is that good news? The country that managed to find the vaccine is an American one named Merck. I believe Merck is American, isn't it? Or is it probably international at this point in time. Who isn't? So there's some good news there. Jane lifted up concerns over families separated at the border by administrative edict. And a fascinating thing has happened amongst a political climate of the most divided political groupings in our country in our history that I'm ever aware of. And most politicians are acknowledging that we are the most deeply divided country we've ever been over politics. And over this issue, we came together. Everyone on both sides came together and demanded that families be reunited, and they are being reunited. Where two or more are gathered in my name. Isn't that what he said? Isn't that what we talked about? That's good news. That's great news. Melba brought us news of merging with the Yellowstone Conference now. You know, I wonder how many of them are thinking, well, we're merging with those churches down in Denver and Aurora and all those urban churches. Kind of worried about us. How many of us are thinking about merging with those churches up in Montana and Wyoming and thinking, I'm kind of worried about them? Some of us might be black sheep and some of us might be white sheep. What do you think? Question is, which one of us is which? And which side of the fence you stand on as you say that. But we're coming together and we're going to learn, and we're going to learn how to live together and be together and be one body in Christ. That's good news. We need to acknowledge that business about black sheep and white sheep, because none of us is here without having transgressed. None of us is free of sin. None of us has made the perfect journey except Christ. And we need to acknowledge that. And we will do that as we come to our time of communion in a few minutes. We'll acknowledge that we haven't made the perfect journey, but we're trying and we're getting closer. And through Christ, we get closer each time we try. That's good news, grace. The grace of God that sees beyond. The grace of God that reached to John Newton, a slaver, an insubordinate, recalcitrant, converted into the ministry. The disciple Paul, the apostle. All of those, think of all of those of the people that seem to be the blackest of sheep, and think of God's good works and his amazing grace. We acknowledge a bridge over troubled waters. We acknowledge Christ in our midst. We acknowledge a rescue from darkness to light. It was interesting to hear that in the song from God Bless America, in the darkness and the light, thinking about the boys in the cave, 10 days underground, you realize they had no light for many, many days. I would have loved to have been there and seen their faces when those divers first appeared out of the water. They might have seen a glow. What would you have thought if you were sitting there in the dark for how many days, no food, and all of a sudden the water begins to glow with the headlight of a diver? Brilliant, the diver said. You're all alive. We've found you. Brilliant. Good news. Think about that. Be aware of that. Be aware of neighbors and friends. Be aware of struggles in your lives and the lives of those around you. Be aware of the good news that even in the darkest of nights, you are never alone because Christ is with us. And be aware of the good news of the unfailing love of God. What a gift. What a blessing. We are a blessed people, blessed with forgiveness and redemption through the grace of God. And we give thanks.